You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. We pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. And we're two blocks north of 520. We're two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. That's the main intersection in Merritt Island, in central Merritt Island. And we would love to have you come and join us on Wednesday nights. We have our family night. It's a Bible study night. We are getting ready to finish our Exiting Egypt study of the book of Exodus. Then we're probably going to have some standalone Wednesday night services for a couple of weeks. We've got a tremendous missionary that's coming in September. And before I start into another series, I want to, you know, I don't want to start something and then cut it off and, you know, interrupt that and things like that. So we would love to have you come and join us. It is a Bible study format. So a person came in on a Monday night and he said, "What's with the Knights of the Round Table set up?" And I was like, "Hey, we're set up for Bible study." You know, what I found is that if I want to remember something now, I've got to write it down. And so we make sure there's a study guide that we produce, and then people can write it down. If we have visitors that come to our church, we give them a journal, say, "Hey, you can write down sermon notes. You can write down notes from your devotions. You can journal in it. You can make a grocery list with it." But one thing we would like you to do is pray for us. We want to pray for you, and we do want to thank those who have visited, and we pray God's best upon you and that he will lead you and guide you to that place where you will thrive in your relationship with Jesus. So we have a kids class. We also have a young adult class that meets most Wednesdays. And so you say, "Well, why is that?" Well, if they don't show up, we don't have class. So we always have our adult class going on. And so anyway, 7 p.m. We start at 7, we end at 8, and we are thankful for the privilege to get together midweek and strengthen our relationship with one another and our walk with God. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it says, "In my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the ruler of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." So a lot of times when people think about Paul's ministry to the Corinthians, they they tend to quote two different verses without realizing that they are contextually linked one with the other. There are some people that want to remember verse number 4, in my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And then they go on and verse number 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Both of those verses are separated by one verse, verse number 5. What Paul was presenting was, at the beginning, he's describing the method in which he came to minister to unbelievers. He then transitions to how he ministered to those who were maturing in their relationship with Jesus. You know, I'm watching my grandkids grow up. Some of them are older. You know, their physical growing is much slower than some of the younger ones, which, you know, grow by leaps and bounds. And I was talking with my daughter, and she was describing something, and in all honesty, I don't remember ever hearing this before, but it made sense. And I was watching one of the grandkids, and he had fallen, and I was telling the mother about it, and she said this: yeah, he's growing, and he hasn't adjusted his walking yet to the fact that his feet have grown and his legs have grown, and as a result of that, he's stumbling, you know, more, because he's not used to the area that he's grown in. A lot of believers say, well, I prayed the sinner's prayer, therefore I'm done, I'm good, there is no need to grow anymore. And I want you to know that there is nothing on this planet that we would have that expectation of. And the Bible tells us that maturing is something that we should be doing as believers. There was a revivalist by the name of Leonard Ravenhill, and he wrote a book called Why Revival Tarries. It's probably his best known book. And he had a son by the name of David Ravenhill. We had an evangelist that came through, and they lived in a fifth wheel, I believe it was. And this was a long time ago. And he was looking to make their weight load lighter, and so he was giving away some of his books, and He had preached at our church, and there was a book that was out there, and it was by David Ravenhill, and the title of that book was For God's Sake, Grow Up. And the premise of the message is that we need to grow in our relationship with God so that God can use us for His sake, for His purpose, for His glory. And so growing is something that we're expected to do. So when there were unbelievers, and because of the wickedness of this city, there was probably a good deal of demonic activity as well. Paul came and ministered. He preached the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, which, you know, according to worldly philosophy, and in fact, if you read Paul's writings, you would see that that when it talks about Christ, that there were people who, in verse number 27, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. The fact that someone would be willing to die for a person who was hostile to the things of God does not compute for the rational human mind. But if you realize that it was, that Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that God was ready to redeem fallen man before man ever fell. He, in his sovereignty, created mankind and empowered us with the freedom of choice so that we could choose to worship God or we could choose not to. It's not that God wanted us to choose not to. He wanted us to choose to do the things that we were supposed to do, recognizing that the Creator knows how we should function better than we do. So Paul talks about here, you know, when you were not believing in Jesus, I came, I was preaching the message of Christ and him crucified. I came in the demonstration of the Spirit of power. In other words, we did not save ourselves. There is only one source of salvation for every person on planet Earth, and that is Jesus. We do not work to earn our salvation. This is what distinguishes us from every other religion. Every other religion is a works-based religion. It's, this is what you do. But in Christianity, we realize that God, by his strong right arm, reached down into our pit and pulled us up out of that pit and raised us up for his glory. That there is no pit too deep that he can't reach. And so it is the power of the cross. It is the power of God the Holy Spirit working inside of us. Those things are very, very essential. So if a person is trying to make themselves holy, that's never going to work. You know, society is trying to establish a new righteousness, one that'll make them popular. I see people all the time who, are trying to create a new standard of righteousness that they will agree with, even though their calibration may be off. So we need God's standard, not our standard. So why was the power of the Holy Spirit to break strongholds, to break addictions, to set captives free spiritually, why was that important? Well, it was because people have faith. God has given to every person the measure of faith. And Paul writes in verse number 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so faith is absolutely essential, and I don't want my faith to be based upon, you know, what other people have to say. My faith is based on the power of God, that the blood of Jesus. And so when you realize that God has saved you, excuse me, that you realize at that point in time, if it wasn't for him, you would have been dead. So I tend to remember times that people have saved me. I remember, you know, a time when I had a medical emergency and the doctor was one. I was young, so I wouldn't have remembered what he looked like, but I remembered his name. And then when I got to my first post high school university experience, come to find out that guy was a believer, because I crossed paths with him and you know, he didn't remember me as a patient because I was just a little boy, but I remembered his name. And you and I, we need to realize that the foundation of our faith is because of the work of Jesus in my heart and in my life. So there's a famous quote. I don't know who said it first. It wasn't me. But the saying is this: God has no grandchildren, just children. And it means that I can't get to heaven because of my mom's relationship with Jesus. I can't get to heaven because of my dad's relationship with Jesus or my spouse's relationship with Jesus. The only way to get to heaven is through the sacrificial and redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And because of the fact that I have faith in who he is and what he has done on my behalf, that I can say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. A lot of people want him as Savior, but they really need to understand the Lordship of Jesus. You know, that he now, we are God's property, that we have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are not your own. And so that philosophy of everybody doing what was right in their own eyes, that should have come to an end the day we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because at that point in time, just like for Paul, it happens for us. God, who are you and what do you want me to do? And when we have that clarity, then we move forward in not just in feelings, because for believers as well as unbelievers, feelings and emotions come and go. So I learned a long time ago that my feelings would lead me down one path, but what I needed to know more than anything else was, God, what do you want? And I have faith in who you are more than I have faith in my feelings. There may be days that you will not feel saved. You may not feel like you have done enough, and that's when you and I get to say, you know what? I may not feel like worshiping right now, but instead of failing to worship, I'm going to choose to worship because of who he is and the fact that he is worthy. So a few weeks ago, I had the privilege, I'll phrase it that way, of leading worship at our church. We have a worship leader who does a wonderful job for us, makes the most of, you know, what challenges we face. By the way, I will say this: if you're in the area and you're a musician that wants to use your gifts for the glory of God, we have openings for musicians at Merit Assembly of God. I remember my kids were in band, and one of them went to college on a musical scholarship for a short while, and we went to one of their concerts. And the the head of the music department or the whoever was leading the concert said, how many of you played music when you were in high school or junior high? And there were a number of people who raised their hands, and he said, how many of you still utilize those skills? And there was a much smaller number, and he said, well, we're sorry that we lost you somewhere in the journey. And, you know, if God has given you musical ability to bring glory and honor to him, I pray that you will allow the Spirit of God to resurrect that function, and you won't just say, oh, that's for younger people. I will tell you, you know, the people we're looking for are people who love Jesus. We're looking for people who recognize that God has gifted them and they want to make the most out of that gift, and that they want to say, God, use me however you want to use me, but I don't want to sit on the sidelines. So we've kind of taken it upon us to minister to a local high school football team. Didn't have a lot of help and resources, and so we stepped up. We provide them with meals, and our youth pastor, Pastor Harley, he's part of the coaching staff at Rockledge High School, and so we chose to say, you know what, we will help out in this area, and so we're providing meals for them on game nights. I only played football up until the ninth grade, and when I went to 10th grade, which was the moving from junior high to high school, even though ninth grade grades counted towards your high school record, the ninth graders were positioned with the seventh and eighth graders back then. So I sat on the bench. We probably had 50 kids on our ninth grade football team. And I didn't do much in the way of playing. And so when the high school coach called and said, hey, are you going to join us for high school football? I said, no, I think I've sat on the bench long enough. And so I opted not to do that because I was a teeny tiny little guy too. But if there were fewer people and I would have been able to play, I would have been all in. But I say that to say this, I may not have had the giftings to play high school football. I would have done better later on years and done better if I had understood the lingo. But even though I didn't function in that capacity, I could say, you know what, if you're looking for people to play, I will be there, and I would have given it my all. And so for you and I, we need to realize that God has saved us. He has gifted us, and we need to use that under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So one of my famous memories of one of my Bible college professors and his wife coming to the church I was serving at and doing a marriage seminar or a relationship seminar, I guess would be a better way to do it. I remember them preaching, the Bible is for living, not just for preaching. Jesus saved us because he wants to spend eternity with us forever. He is preparing a place for us. And I want you to remember that phrase, that he is preparing a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also. And that's a very important promise. It describes the heart, the motivation, and the intent that God has for us. So that's what he is preparing for us. He is preparing that place for us, and he is preparing us for that place. So when I approach my life as a believer, not just as a pastor, but as a believer, God, I want to make the most out of this opportunity for your glory and your praise. That's my prayer for this radio program. Probably not hundreds of thousands of listeners or things like that, but if there's a person in Brevard County and they've been sidelined, and maybe it was disappointment, maybe it was rejection, maybe it was something else, but you realize, hey, God has gifted me in this area. We want to make sure that the power of God is flowing through you so that you can accomplish everything that God has set out for you to accomplish. We want your faith to be in the power of what God has done. So I've talked to people about this a number of times, and that is a lot of times people will take spiritual giftings tests. And nothing wrong with that. I mean, it helps to identify some strengths and weaknesses and things like that. I took one of them one time, and the questions were kind of vaguely worded, and I thought of it in an answer to the best of my ability. And I told the guy who had administered the test, I said, well, I don't agree with that assessment that you made. And he said, well, I didn't make that assessment. You did. And, you know, I know that all of us have strengths and weaknesses. But let's not limit ourselves to what our personality profile is. Let's not limit ourselves to things that we have natural giftings for, because as believers, God can take us from whatever position we are, and he can use us to do extraordinary things. David was a shepherd that God wanted to make a king. Gideon was he was threshing wheat during a time of war, just trying to scrape by with enough food to feed himself and maybe his family. And God showed up and he said, you're a mighty man of valor. Peter was a fisherman that God said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And the truth of the matter is this: God has the power to make every one of us everything that he wants us to be. I pray that we would not put restrictions on God and say, oh God, you can't do that in my life. I pray that we'd say, God, here I am. Use me for your glory. And God, if I don't have the natural giftings in me, would you supernaturally supply everything I need so I can do this task to the glory of God? You have a blessed day. Happy Wednesday to you. We'll see you here tomorrow on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Yeah.